Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the very beginning of March 2nd, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. I got a good friend today coming on the show. She's just a wonderful lady. We met her a few weeks ago. Okay, her name is Melissa Brown. She's the lead director of schools for Pearson's Connections Academy, which is their K-12 online schools. But we learned about Melissa here at our American Consortium for Equity in Education a while back, all right? I talked to her a few weeks ago, okay? And she is one of our champions of equity, one of the folks that's honored in the current issue of Equity and Access, which is up on site at our consortium website, which is ace-ed.org, and go through the magazine. You'll see her and others honored for the great work they do for equity for students in education. In Melissa's case, it's for LGBTQ kids, okay? And she's going to talk about how she works with these kids, mentors them, helps them, et cetera, et cetera. She's a wonderful lady, and she's a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to talking to her. Just let me get a little bit of homework done. As I always like to say, we are part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. Go over there. You'll see our magazine, which is a terrific online journal, Equity in Access. Click right through. Read what you want. Share the whole thing with your friends. We'd love you to join with us. Everything we do over there is free. All right, it's free for educators, so please check it all out. Tell folks about what we're doing to become a communication center, a place where the industry and educators can work together for equity. And hopefully this horror of the pandemic is ending soon and we'll be able to get back to a more normal, whatever that turns out to be, as time goes on. So it's really important stuff, and we'll see how it works with the lessons we learned, et cetera. All right, you'll see over there, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. All those icons are there. But if you want to follow me particularly over here at Education Talk Radio, it's EduTalk Radio on Twitter, Larry Jacobs on Facebook, and Larry Jacobs on Larry Jacobs on Facebook, also Education Talk Radio there, and Larry Jacobs at LinkedIn. Okay, without further ado, I'm in Maine, but she's in Indiana. It's a -4 here this morning. Okay, what is it in Indianapolis where you are, Melissa? Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me today. It's not
pleasure,
-4. We at least have sunshine
good
here in Indianapolis. We're happy with
we
that.
Have sunshine?
We're about 40. So
yeah. That's only a 44 degree difference. We have sunshine. It just happens to be -4 right now. We woke up. It was like -16 or something. There's a cold front that came through last night. It's unbelievable, okay, and it was windy as heck. But you know what? There's not much difference between 10 degrees above and 10 degrees below. So we're inside. We work inside the house. Yeah, so it's okay. All right, it's sunny and sunny in Indianapolis. I'm good to hear that. Tell everybody what you do, Melissa. And by the way, although I said this to you personally, okay, congrats on being one of our champions of equity. If anybody deserves it, you do. We love knowing you and having you on the show and working with you. And tell us what you do as lead director of schools for Pearson's Connections Academy. And feel free to do a plug for Connections Academy.
Sure. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate your kind words. I really and truly feel humbled to have been honored in such a way. I mean, it really means a lot to me. So thank you. Let me say it again.
Well deserved, my dear. Our pleasure, our honor.
Thank you.
I'll say it again.
Thank you. Thank you. So in my position as lead director of schools at Pearson, basically I work every day to support our online schools. And when I say our online schools, I'm talking about our Connections Academy schools. We have schools in many states. These are full-time online schools. In many cases, they serve students in grades K through 12. And you know, we've been around for a long time. So when we think about the pandemic and people now moving to the online model, you know, our schools have been doing this for almost 20 years. So we feel like we're doing something. We can help others do this new type of learning. But we have schools all over the country, and you can find information about all of our schools at connectionsacademy.com.
That's excellent. And how many states do you work in? Or are the schools in, I should say?
We have schools in about 33 states currently. And oftentimes, you know, legislation drives the ability to have a school in a state. But in most cases, our schools are statewide, so they serve kids all over that state. Now, in California, it's a little different because it's such a big state and we have several schools. So it's hard to put an exact number on that, but But we're working to make sure that our model is available to all students everywhere.
Cool. And again, 33 states, that's a lot. You said something just before we get into the equity part and the LGBTQ part. It's interesting. You guys have been around for 20 years, okay? And online learning has been there. I've always been an advocate for it, okay? I do really, really like it. I think it offers a lot and always has. But with the pandemic, it became the way of the world.
Right.
All right. Obviously, everybody all of a sudden started to come over. And as it became the way of the world over the last year, and I believe, although obviously not 100% like it had been in so many places, but it's going to continue stronger than ever. How has the pandemic affected what you guys have done for the past year over at Connections Academy? And I'm just curious to put the two things, something that's been there for such a long while and all of a sudden the egg hatched. Okay, we didn't necessarily want the egg to hatch, but the egg hatched, all right, and suddenly everybody's okay. Over. So what's going on? Well, how did it affect it all?
Well, the good news is that we had online models in place. You know, we had
online schools
in place to serve kids in many places, and so many families came to us because they knew that we had tried and true practices that work for kids, and so, of course, we saw an increase in our enrollment, a tremendous, you know, historical growth in our company in terms of student population in the last year. The good news is, Larry, that we were set up operationally, instructionally. We could take that number of students. It was really kind of a beautiful thing to see that when there was a need, we kind of stepped in and served lots of kids. The other thing that we did this year that I found particularly exciting is that we made a conscious effort to help others. So school districts all over the country were kind of scrambling, as you said, to go to online.
Yeah.
And our schools did webinars. Our teachers were out there talking about how to be a good online teacher. And I do think that really helped. So this has been a truly exciting time for us because you've got people who've been working in online education for many, many years, super passionate about it. And this was kind of our time to shine and help everyone else see the beauty of online learning.
Yeah, and by the way, you've been shining for a while in this stuff, but it all of a sudden it all came to light and of a super necessity. Are you familiar with a group called the National Parents Union? Are you familiar with them?
I'm not familiar with that group.
I'm going to introduce you because you made an interesting point as I asked you about that. Okay, you said, quote, parents came to us. Okay, and the National Parents Union, I'm going to interview them on Thursday by total coincidence in light of this conversation, but they kind of advocate for kids who, and one of the things they're doing is trying to find alternate ways to make sure kids learn. I think that would be a good connection for you, okay, and vice versa.
That sounds like
okay?
a great conversation. Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Why not?
Fantastic.
I'll get you guys together. It just struck me that would be something that would work really, really well for you. And I'm just curious about this. Before we get into the main subject here, how did you get into online learning? Because it was on the peripheral for so long, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, Larry, that's a great question. And I think about that a lot because, you know, I've been in education for more than 30 years now. And my passion really has been just, you know, in education. But I found early on that online education allows us to serve all students. And by that I mean, as a classroom teacher in the bricks and mortar setting, we often saw those students who, for whatever reason, didn't quite fit. And many times those students now find their way to an online school. And I love serving those students. I love personalizing education in a way that's meaningful for a student, no matter who they are or what their background or what obstacles they might be encountering. So I guess I have a passion for those different kids, I guess, and online school allows us to serve those students. And I was part of a school in the early 2000s, which is an interesting story. In Colorado, and we were one of the first online schools in the country, and I was super excited to work in that alternative type setting with those students. And the school that we built wasn't a great quality because we were just doing all the work ourselves, but just being able to serve those kids really inspired me, and I've just continued the work.
It's really an interesting story in the way we get to the places we are, but really it's so much more important. I want to say this the right way. It has taken on a whole new importance over the past year. Okay, we've
Absolutely.
Learned a lot, and I believe the online learning is going to become a true part of the education system as opposed to something that's considered maybe a little bit on the peripheral. Okay, and I've been an advocate for it for years, and boy, you talk about equity, I'll use your quote, online serves all students, and I'll tell you something interesting, now we can get into what we want to talk about, because a lot of the LGBTQ kids are picked on, they're bullied, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that changes, but I had an interesting conversation on the show with the superintendent of schools for the state of Virginia, their state superintendent, and James, he said one of the there are good things, I hate to say it, that comes out of this pandemic. And he said one of the good things that has come up is the statistics that bullying is way, way down. Way, way down.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously the kids aren't, you said at the beginning, faced with the challenge of being kids. Okay. Kids in hallways, kids
exactly.
in school. It's just worse for kids who are a little bit out of the mainstream there. So talk about your role with the LGBTQ kids. All right, and this is interesting. You want to serve as a role model and mentor for those kids, but don't forget you're online. You're in Indiana.
Right.
You could be with a kid here in Maine. All right, so just talk about your role and the need, okay, for LGBTQ. Maybe I should ask this question. You want to be a mentor and you want to help these kids, not you, the colloquial you. Okay, how important is it to be an LGBTQ person? Okay, and how do you do that when you're online? So that's a double question. I'll give you a doctorate if you can answer that one. Okay, Melissa, go ahead. No problem.
Well, and it's a great question. You know, I think first and foremost, I think about my career in education. As I said, it's been more than 30 years that I've been working in schools. And Larry, I feel like I really missed some opportunities early in my career to embrace who I was in an effort to help other students understand that, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Things do get better. I feel like I missed a lot of opportunities early in my career. So I believe very strongly in the power of living authentically, and I feel like representation matters. So whenever we can kind of normalize difference, I think it helps people. You know, I made a conscious effort years ago to start talking about being gay more, even with my colleagues, with my my parents' friends, with anybody that I came into conversation with, because I think if we talk about it more, it just becomes normal to people. You know, you look at kids now. And it's all very normal to them because their friends, their peers are more open than people of my age have been. So I feel like, stepping out, being a little bit courageous about that could really save some lives. And so I guess I just try to do that in every environment, online and in person, so that students might see someday that it's okay and that one day it will get better.
Yeah, and I love your little phrase, which to me is very key these days, is normalizing a difference. Okay,
yeah.
And I think that is the basis of everything, right there. If I may be so bold as to give my opinion here, okay. And I always use the example. I'll give you a classic one. Okay, years ago, the Chicago Bears played the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They were both, the head coaches were both African American, which was the first time that ever happened. When I looked at Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith, okay, they never even occurred to me to think of them as black guys. It just thought of me, I just liked them. I thought they were good coaches. In other words, the difference to me was normalized, but the press kept making a big deal about the African Americanism. And I think that's important to African-American people, of the coaches, all right? And to me, and I think with you have to normalize the difference, okay? People are just people, okay? I don't care what
Absolutely.
They are. You know what I mean? And that's why I love that phrase. I wrote it down. I love that phrasing. So that's my point. Carry it over into LGBTQ kids. It's the same thing. They're not separate people. They're just good kids with a difference. That's all.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right. And, yeah, and they want to belong just like other students in our schools. And so
of course.
We've done some things. We've put some practices in at our schools that have helped kids feel a little bit more safe. My daughter, she's 17 years old. She goes to a local bricks and mortar school. And she was just sharing with me that a transgender student in her school wanted to change his name, wanted to change pronoun and name, and how difficult that was, how hard it was that the administration pushed back and that the process itself was really hard for that student. But at our Connections Academy schools, we've developed a tool where as soon as a child tells us that they want to change that gender or name in the system, we'll make that happen almost immediately so that, you know, upon enrollment, that student is known by that preferred name and gender. So, you know, we can do some of those things in the online environment that I hope serve as examples for other school districts. And I'm really proud of that. You know, we've made a conscious effort, too, to provide professional development to all of our teaching staffs across the country.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, just in terms of supporting kids, but also in, you know, I talk about this generation gap. Young people have embraced a new language around LGBTQ people, whereas people older like I am, there's a learning curve. You know, we've had to embrace some of these new terms too. And so we're helping teachers understand what all of that means, because I think there's a process, you know, everyone's on their own journey in this, and we're just helping all of our staff members a little to get a little further down the road in supporting kids than they were when they started working for an online school. Another thing that we do, Larry, is we provide connections between schools. So students in Indiana can talk to students in California, can talk to students in Pennsylvania, and they are allowed sometimes to have that sort of alliance, so to speak, and talk about the things that are going on there in their lives. So, you know, at the end of the day, for me, serving these kids is really just about encouraging authenticity and allowing students and teachers alike, because we do have LGBTQ teachers all over the country as well. And,
of course, obviously.
And allowing them, allowing them to be open and authentic really helps kids get there too. And I can't say that enough. I talk about that in as many spaces as I can. Just making sure those adult role models feel okay to be out and authentic too, because at the end of the day, that will serve kids very well.
It really will, but obviously I agree with you on. But my question is that's tough. And I don't want to say this the right way. That's courageous, because there is bigotry out there and prejudice out there. Okay, what have you been hearing? Yeah, as teachers, and I agree with you. It shouldn't even be a question anymore, to be honest, but unfortunately it is. Okay, what do you hear from that as a teacher, a gay teacher suddenly comes out, okay, and what are you hearing about that? Has there been trouble? I hope not, but I'm sure there has been. What do you hear?
And I think you can do a quick Google search and find all kinds of stories that you know are positive stories about that and negative stories about that. But for me, it comes down to the culture that you build in a school. When I was the executive director at Indiana Connections Academy, we stated loudly that we wanted to serve all students, and all students means all students. And so if a teacher comes out, and that actually happened. We had a teacher in transition in our school, and we made, you know, the very obvious choice to support that teacher as she transitioned. And there were some folks that pushed back, and it was a time when we had some very, very difficult conversations. But at the end of the day, we knew where we stood as a school. And when we knew, you know, what our values were, what our vision was, it was easy to support that teacher. And it was one of the most rewarding moments of my life to stand with that teacher as she announced her transition. And it was a very rewarding experience. And I hope that people can hear the positive stories as many as well as the negative. You know, There are both out there, for sure.
Well, hopefully there are fewer. Hopefully, as time goes by, and I think it's true, there are fewer and fewer negatives. We just start to begin to accept things, but there's still always that core group that matters. I have to ask, okay, kid to kid, all right, and kids do bully kids sometimes who are gay, et cetera, whatever the case may be. And I'm just going to use gay as a simple way to say it here on the show.
Sure.
I'm curious, how do the kids react, their classmates online? Okay, have you seen any bullying? I think you can control it a little better, okay, but I don't know. Okay, have you seen, how's the kid-to-kid interaction? I'm not talking about gay-to-gay, I'm talking about gay-to-straight,
sure.
So with that we can eliminate the bigotry that sometimes exists in-person schooling.
Well, you know, I love this question because, number one, our students who come to our schools, in a lot of cases, and not all, but in a lot of cases, they have experienced bullying in the bricks and mortar school, and they know what that's like. And they don't want another human to experience what they experience. So we don't see a lot of bullying in online schools. We see more students who sort of are way more open to one another and supporting one another because of the experiences that they've had. Now, that's not to say that there isn't online bullying, because it does happen on occasion, and we're able to kind of watch and monitor as much as we can. But the other thing that I find really, really beautiful about the online environment is a student can choose to disclose something about him or herself that would just be obvious in the bricks and mortar setting. We had a young lady many years ago who was in a wheelchair. And she shared with me, and this was something that surprised me and I hadn't really thought of. She shared with me how nice it was that she didn't have to tell everyone that she was in a wheelchair. And you know, people treat people differently based on their appearance, and I'm sure she experienced that as a student in a wheelchair. But when she came to an online school, she was just like everybody else. I thought that was a really beautiful story, and it was something I hadn't anticipated.
Right. It's amazing. All these things, when you hear the stories and the anecdotal stories, which I think are incredibly important, they really open your eyes to this stuff. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yes.
It's just amazing what goes on out there. And, when you go, wow, I never even thought of that. I have a question for your lead director of schools, again, for Pearson's Connections Academy. And this year, so many kids... pretty much 100% at one time, okay, we're learning online, and there was a lot of question, Melissa, about equity, and there still is, that some kids just don't have the broadband access, okay, at their homes, all right, especially in rural areas and sometimes in the heavily populated, though poverty-stricken, urban areas, all right? And I'm curious, all right, I'm just curious how you guys work this. If a poor family or a family in rural America wants to go to online school, and this is not an LGBTQ question, but if they want to go to an online school, they start to talk to you, but they have broadband challenges. Have you guys looked at that? How do you handle that? I'm just curious about
sure.
it. It struck me as we were talking. Yeah, good.
Yeah. I would say that it hasn't been incredibly prohibitive for us, and I'm not exactly sure why, but we work very hard with families to make sure that they have what they need. In many states, our students are provided with a computer and with broadband access if they need it. Now, that's not true for all of our states and in all of our schools and all of our states because of legislation or because of rules and regulations in this state. We're not allowed to do that everywhere, but in lots of cases, we do whatever we can do to make sure that that child has access. Now, at the end of the day, if the broadband in that student's area is not strong, then that is an obstacle. That is a problem. And we try to work with organizations who can provide access to rural areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, that is going to be something that really makes a difference for all students, that broadband access. And I know that because of the pandemic, states are looking at some different plans. And I think that is one of the silver linings in this whole scenario is that hopefully we will have better access at the end of all of this.
Yeah, it strikes me as amazing, and I always use this example. It's the obvious one. But back in the 1930s, the government developed the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, to bring electricity to rural America. So literally they could listen to the radio and be on the same, no pun intended, wavelength as everyone else in the world. Okay?
Yeah.
And we have the same exact thing now with broadband. And it is really,
that's a great connection, yeah.
Yeah. It's the same scenario, same analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now we see how important it is. And believe me, I hate to say this, but we had Ebola a couple of years ago. Now we have this mess with COVID. There's another one coming down the pike. We got to be ready. Okay, the virus, though they may be small, but they're really smart. They're really smart. Okay, the little virus thingies. Okay,
yeah.
So we got to be really careful about that. I wanted to ask something. This is a great question, I think. Kids have lost a lot of learning this year, even kids who literally were attending every day. Again, pedagogically, the teachers had not been trained, though God willing, they tried. So I could bless them to do a great job, and they really did. But they're not trained in the online learning. The kids suffered and are still suffering this year. We got a lot to make up for. How are your kids at the Connections Academy doing this year? Okay. This was already all in place. You know, it's not like you're the ABC school district, you're Pearson's Connections Academy. We were all set. How are the kids doing this year?
Well, I'm so excited that you asked that question because our kids are doing fantastic. In fact, we are experiencing some academic successes that we haven't seen in the past. And our students are, our graduation rates are improving. We have more kids on track to graduate. We have more students completing and passing courses than ever before. So I think it's a real testament to students being able to step into an environment that was well-established and poised to just pick up where bricks and mortar schools left off.
Yeah.
And I don't, absolutely feel incredible empathy for the bricks and mortar teachers who were thrust into this world.
Oh, they tried. They're still trying. Yeah.
Yes, and we've spent years and years and years improving our craft as instructional practitioners online. And it's going to take bricks and mortars a long time to do that. And I just feel really, really good about our ability to step in and provide a nice alternative for families when they really needed it. Again, I think our schools are going to grow. Our schools are going to get stronger because of how we performed during this pandemic. Not taking advantage of what happened, but just really making certain that we can help as many kids as possible. And we'll continue to try to help those bricks and mortar programs that are trying to do good online work.
Yeah, and that's actually it's such a funny thing about human nature. There's no need to make an apology for being at the right place at this terrible time.
You don't wish
anyone ill. Okay, you're just at the right place. It's not even the right time. I don't know how we say that, but it's all good, and I think it's just, we wish everybody well. Everybody well in this thing. It's just amazing. So, last, as we get forward, just give the Melissa Brown message, okay, for both online and brick and mortar schools about helping LGBTQ kids. Just talk about that in terms of equity and all that sort of stuff. And what happens if we don't do it? Okay, because it can lead to real challenges, including suicides in some cases, unfortunately. So just talk about
absolutely
the importance of that. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, being able to live authentically, Larry, is really, I believe, a matter of life and death, particularly when it comes to our LGBTQ kids. I mean, we know that the data is clear. All you have to do is look at on HRC, the Human Rights Campaign website, the Trevor Project. All you have to do is look at some of the data that they have published, and you will see that kids need to be able to live authentically. And
I like that.
As the adults in their lives, we need to be able to live authentically to provide a wonderful example. And it truly is a matter of life and death. And so I guess
it is.
In the coming years, I'm going to do whatever I can do. I'm happy to talk to anybody who might need some guidance or some some recommendations on how we can do that in our schools. But I think it starts first and foremost with just living authentically and allowing students to do the same.
Normalize differences. I'm going to go back to what you said a few minutes ago. Normalize differences.
Yes.
And just let's be accepting of everyone. It's just so important. Who was that? What was that? Melissa, what was that? Was
I
that your dog?
I am so sorry.
No, it's
COVID
fine. Dogs,
puppy.
Wait, let me make a point. I think I met your dog before. Dogs are welcome on Education Talk Radio. What's her name?
It's a good thing. His name is Ozzy, and he is truly a COVID puppy. And
there
he
you
has
go.
Been really good until this very moment.
But
so,
Ozzy, it's okay.
Yes, Ozzy.
Ozzy, we believe in equity here. Is it Ozzy? O-Z-Z-I-E?
Yes, Ozzy.
Ozzy, we believe in equity here that every voice should be heard, so there's no problem from this end.
We're letting him be authentic, right?
There you go. Thank you very much. The authentic voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Melissa Brown's dog, Ozzy. There you go. Okay, give him a cookie for Uncle Larry. Okay?
We'll do.
It's okay. Hey, Melissa, thanks. Melissa, thanks a million for this. You know, it's just great. We're so glad you're part of what we're doing here with our consortium. You're a champion of equity. And I think you should wear a cape to work. Instead of driving, just fly. That's good. You're super girl.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I think you and I are going to talk again on Friday, so we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. You have a great day. Stay warm. Well, it's 40 degrees. You will be warm. Nothing more to say.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, you stay warm. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. And give the dog a cookie, okay?
I will. Thanks
Good.
Again.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Melissa Brown and the world-famous Ozzy. Melissa is the lead director of schools for Pearson's Connections Academy, the K-12 online schools. Ozzy, I assume, is the assistant lead director of schools for Pearson's Connections Academy, and he's doing a great job. All right, and she's just got great stuff. She's wonderful. Read all about her in our magazine, Equity and Access, over at ace-ed.org. She's something. Okay, and then we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Wesley. And thank you all for listening.